Will you turn with me in the Word of God tonight to 1 Chronicles chapter 13? Let us now hear the Word of God as we find it in this portion before us. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that if it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves together unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubim, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Asa and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Asa put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Asa, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Asa, wherefore that place is called Perez Asa to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, How shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his home 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that they had. And may God be pleased in his mercy to bless the public reading of his own precious word for Christ's sake. Amen. A couple of Sunday nights ago, we preached to you from the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And on that occasion, we learnt a lesson from the potter's house. And that lesson is, Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Last Sunday night, we learnt a lesson from God's house. We focused your attention on Isaiah chapter 6, especially verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. And the lesson we learned last Sunday night is very, very clear. God is still on the throne. Once again, we want to draw your attention tonight to a lesson from Obed-Edom's house. What is the lesson for tonight? You find the lesson, the latter part of verse 14. Part of the verse I want to use as my text for tonight. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that they had. Now with these thoughts, or with this word fresh in our mind, let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee once again for what we have read from Thy truth tonight. We do ask of Thee now for help to rightly divide the Word of God, and to teach Thy truth in a faithful fashion, in the mighty power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Draw nigh to every heart in Jesus' name, and write this message indelibly upon the tables of our hearts, that we might never forget this message, that we might never forget this word. But, O Heavenly Father, we pray that we might enter into the experience of what this word conveys to us. And grant, dear Heavenly Father, tonight that the Lord will bless us and our homes and all that we have for the glory of the Savior's name. Hear these our prayers. Lead us by thy gracious Spirit in our worship just now, and send help from heaven for the preaching of the Word of God in this place. For Christ's sake. Amen. The Ark of God had been captured by the Philistines and had been placed in their temple. It was the temple dedicated to Dagon, their false god, their fish god. However, when they arose early the next morning, they discovered that Dagon had fallen to the ground before the Ark of God. And the point I wish to stress just now at the very beginning of the message is that no image or idol can stand before the living and the true God. And that was a lesson that was taught to the Philistines here in this particular portion before us. Only the stump or the fishy part of the image remained. Now this humiliating discovery dismayed the Philistines, and when it was followed by pestilences, the men of Ashdod made a decision. They said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us." Consequently, they placed the ark of God on a new cart and sent it back to the land of Israel. After a brief and tragic interlude at Beth Shemesh, it was taken to Kirjath-Jearim, where it remained for 20 years in the house of a man called Abinadab. However, when David became king over all Israel, his first priority was to have the ark transported to Jerusalem. Unfortunately, he failed to consult his God, and as a result of his failure at this time, it led to a great tragedy. Let me explain. When the long-waited-for day eventually arrived, a great assembly of people accompanied the king to the house of Abinadab. They wanted to be with the king to show solidarity with him, and they wanted to assist in bringing back the ark to the city of Jerusalem. David was elated. The people were happy. The musicians filled the air with their music. It was a joyous occasion. The ark of God was going home at last. Then suddenly disaster struck. For some reason, Asa reached out his hand and touched the ark of God, and immediately was struck down by God. It says that he died before the Lord. The music ceased. The onlookers were stunned. And verse 11 tells us that David was displeased with God because of what God did on that occasion. And as a result, he refused to take the ark of God any further. Instead, he ordered it to be carried into the house of one of the locals, a man called Obed-Edom. The day that had commenced with great joy concluded with great judgment. David was stunned. David was frustrated. David was afraid. David blamed God. But had David been more thoughtful, he would have realized that he was in fact responsible for the tragedy. We're so slow to see our own failures. We're so swift to blame God and other people. But if we'd only follow the thing through, reason it out, on many occasions, we would realize that we're chastened of God because of our own folly and our own sinful ways. But the event that was tragic for David and for Israel proved to be a real blessing for Obed-Edom and his family. And verse 14 tells us, "The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that they had." I want to ask you this all-important question. Do you know anything of this blessing? Do you know anything of this rich blessing that God's servant experienced many years ago? If you are not experiencing that now, and if you have never experienced that type of a blessing, the Lord has you here for a purpose, that you too might enter into the joy of the blessing of God that maketh rich and knoweth no sorrow. So for a short time tonight, we want to speak about this blessing that Obed-Edom experienced, this blessing that extended to all that he had. First of all, we want to think about the place of the blessing. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that they had. Now these words are found again in verse 13. And also in chapter 15 and verse 25. And you can find these verses for yourself and underline them. So the Spirit of God has recorded in these two chapters a threefold reference to this very interesting point, that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Now what does that suggest to you? Well, it suggests to me that the Lord is interested in the homes of his people. That the Lord is interested in the families of his people. Let me say to you tonight that the Lord is interested in your home, and he's interested in your family. Now, what was the reason for this blessing? 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12 gives the reason why Obed-Edom and his family were blessed of God. There we read these words, "It was because of the ark of God." Now this man, Obed-Edom, had witnessed a tragedy at the roadside. He had watched as a man who ought to have known better, for no man was allowed or permitted to touch the ark of God. That was the reason why it had to be carried with staves. But here's a man presumptuously reached out his hand to touch the ark of God. And in that very moment, God struck him dead. Oh, it may appear very harsh to us, but that man defied God. He defied God's truth and God's word. The fear of God was not in his heart when he reached out his hand and touched the ark. That's why God judged him that day. Because man cannot interfere with holy things. And the ark of God was a holy thing. Symbol and visible presence of God with his people. And man cannot afford to work or to interfere with holy things. He saw that. He could have feared, but instead he welcomed the ark into his home. Can you see him as the ark crossed his threshold, the threshold of his home? Did he bow his head and say, "Welcome, Lord"? At the end of the day, when he retired with his family, did he say, "Good night, Lord"? In the morning time, when he awakened after a night of rest and refreshment, did he thank God that his mercies are new every morning? Maybe he did. But thank God he welcomed the ark into his home. The Philistines, they saw the ark and they trembled. Asa touched the ark and he died. David abandoned the ark and became bitter. Obed-Edom welcomed the ark and was blessed. Now what is your response to the ark of God? One day Obed-Edom heard a knock at his door and heard a voice, the voice of God, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." In other words, the Savior is saying, if you open the door and let me in, you will enjoy fellowship with me. So that day when David abandoned the ark, that day as Asa lay dead at the roadside, the knock came to the door. It was the knock of God. "Open the door and I will come in. And I will sup with you. I will sup in this home. I will bless this family. I will become the head of this home. Open the door and let me in." And the man opened the door and invited the ark in and said, like the disciples who traveled along the Emmaus Road, they said to Jesus, "Abide with us." And Obed-Edom said, "Abide with us. You're welcome in my home. Abide with us." David was angry following Asa's death. He blamed God when things didn't go according to his plan. And sometimes that's the way it is with the people of God. When we do not get God's green light, we huff. And David huffed like a child. He had been on the road for many years, he ought to have known better. But he huffed like a child. He wasn't getting his own way. And so he became angry. And his anger gave way to bitterness. And then it was followed by resentment. And then we also read about David's action. He abandoned his plan to put God at the center of his life. He abandoned his plan to put God at the center of the religious life of the nation. Matthew 6 and verse 33 is very clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And David was moved to do this. He was stirred to do this. But then he tried to do it his own way. God's work has to be done God's way. And when we try to do God's way our way, it will always end in failure and disaster. We're very easily knocked off our course, aren't we? One day we can be on the hilltop, on the mountaintop with God. The next day down in the valley of despair. Here was a man who wanted to put God at the center of the nation. But he was so easily knocked off his course. And then think about David's apathy. The Bible speaks of the house of Obed-Edom being blessed for 3 months. David remained indifferent to the ark of God for 3 months. He never sought after the ark during that period of time, 90 days, 3 months, a quarter of a year. He did not consult God. He did not seek God. His heart was full of apathy and bitterness and resentment. Of course, there was a time in David's life when he sinned with Bathsheba. It wasn't 3 months of an out of fellowship with God then. It wasn't even 6 months. It wasn't even 9 months. But as far as we can make out, it was a whole year before he took up the pen, writing with a broken heart. And as he wrote down the words of Psalm 51, I believe about parchment that he penned the psalm on was stained with the tears of remorse, the tears of sorrow for sin, because as he penned those words after a year of the night of fellowship with God, he remembered his sin. And of course David had to suffer for his sin. We all have to suffer when we sin. But he got the burden of his heart, and he was able to write, He restoreth my soul. And God can restore. God can forgive. God can renew. If the Lord were not able to do that, this preacher wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here either, praising God tonight. You would be away in Bypath Meadow. There's no telling where any one of us would be tonight had it not been for the fact that God restores our souls and renews our strength. And I believe that David learned at this particular time that indwelling sin was still a powerful reality in his heart. And indwelling sin is a powerful reality in the hearts and lives of every child of God. I let no one sit here with a pious look and say, that doesn't apply to me. Oh yes, it does. It applies to me in the pulpit. And we need the grace of God every day to resist sin and to say no to sin. What a strange irony that David should treat the ark of God like a hot potato, drop it into the lap of this local man, Obed-Edom, and then have to stand by and see God bless that man with great blessing. That must have been hard for David. It was a hard thing for him to do. But the truth of the matter is, God blessed Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now, the ark in the Old Testament was the dwelling place of God. When God spoke to his ancient people, he spoke from between the cherubim on the mercy seat that represented God's presence. And so the ark is a figure and type of Christ. And Obed-Edom opened his home to Christ. He welcomed the ark into his home. And he said, Lord, David may be angry. Asa may be dead. The people outside may be stunned. But there's a place in my home for God. Is there a place in your home for God? Is there a place in your home for Christ? And I believe that he discovered that God's blessing comes along with God's presence. Remember the time when the Lord Jesus calmed the storm, and when he stood up in the little ship on which the disciples were traveling. And what happened then? He calmed the storm. But the Bible says that he calmed the storm, and it was a great calm. He does nothing by half measures. And when Christ comes into the home, or he comes into a vessel, or he comes into a life, thank God he brings blessing with him. And Obed-Edom discovered that God's blessing comes along with God's presence. How can you expect to be blessed in your home, in your business, in your life, if the presence of God is not there? It was because God was there that his house and all that he had was blessed. He discovered that God makes the difference. There were many bushes in the desert, but Moses was attracted to only one because God was there. And that's the emblem of Presbyterianism, the burning bush, burning but not consumed. There's a lesson every time we use that word Presbyterian. I'm proud to be a Presbyterian. Burning but not consumed. There were many weddings in Cana of Galilee, but we only relate to one, don't we? Why? Because Jesus sanctified that wedding by his presence. It was the presence of Christ that made the difference. There were many places where Jacob lay down to sleep, but we only speak of one. Why? Because Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. What did he call it? He called it Bethel. Beth meaning house. In Hebrew, El stands for God. And that place, the place where he slept, became the house of God. He met with God that night. And God saved him that night. Genesis chapter 28, God saved him. And you can be saved tonight in this house, the house of God. There are many graves in Bethany Cemetery. When people visit that area today, they only stop off at one grave. Because it was there that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I've been there on a number of occasions. You have to go down narrow steps to that particular area. And your guide or the man who's there will say to you, as you stand there, this is the place where Lazarus lay. And then he holds out his hand for two or three shekels as a tip for him telling you that. Now, whether that was the place where Lazarus was buried, I cannot tell you. There were many handicapped people who lay at the pool of Bethesda, but we only talk about one being healed. Because Jesus said to that man, wilt thou be made whole? And that man said, yes. It's the presence of Christ that makes the difference. And it was the presence of Christ in this man's home that made the difference. This good man had his home blessed of God because the Lord was there. And that makes the difference. Sadly for the nation had lost the conscious presence of God. There's a sad comment in verse 3 where David said about the people, that Israel inquired not at the hand of God in the days of Saul. Saul reigned for 40 years. Does this suggest that for 40 years the people of God had not consulted the Lord? Well, if not 40 years, surely it suggests a long period of time. Maybe it has been a long time since you last consulted with God. Since you last bowed and really prayed. Since you last really opened up the Scriptures to read the Word of God for your soul. It's been a long time since you've experienced the blessing and the fullness of God and the reviving power of the Holy Spirit. And we're dry and carnal and dead and lifeless. Well, when this man welcomed Christ into his home, and when Christ was put at the head of the home, the Bible says, the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that they had. So Obed-Edom's home became a sanctuary for the ark. It was in his home for 3 months. And I was thinking about that period of time. And I thought about Moses. How long did his mother hide him? She hid him for 3 months. And what a blessing he was to the people of God. What a blessing he was. And what a blessing it is to know the joy of the Lord and to experience the good hand of God. The same hand that judged Asa blessed Obed-Edom. The word Obed-Edom simply means servant of Edom. Obed means servant. And then of course you have the word Edom, so servant of Edom. And here we can see this man as he renders true service not to man but to God. And his service was one that no one else would undertake. No one else wanted this job. No one else wanted to do it. But here's a man who stood up and he said, I'll do it. I look after the ark. I'll do it. Oh, for men and women like that in any congregation. I'll do it. The ark of God, or the word ark, is mentioned about 9 times in these 14 verses. The Spirit of God just keeps latching upon that title or that name or that phrase. What's the Spirit of God trying to do here? I think the lesson is very simple. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The Spirit of God is focusing attention upon the ark, upon Christ. That's the place of the blessing. But then we want to speak for a moment or two about the purpose of the blessing. Why do people advertise in newspapers? Why do people advertise on the TV? They want to get other people interested in their product in the hope that other people will buy their product with a view to getting rich. Why did the Lord bless Obed-Edom? Of course, for his own dear namesake. That has to be said first of all. But then in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12, we read these words. It was told David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And the word of God goes on to say, so David went up and brought up the ark. It's obvious to me that other people had heard or seen something of God's blessing, the blessing of God upon Obed-Edom. Other people had noticed the blessing. And when God begins to bless a man, or God begins to bless a family, or God begins to bless a church, it will be noticed. People began to notice the blessing of God in this man's life. Now, we're not told what it was, specifically. Some hold that prior to this, he was poor. And after this experience, he became very prosperous. I cannot truly say. In any event, the blessing of God is never secret. The blessing of God cannot be hidden. When Moses came down from meeting with God, how did the people know that he had been in the presence of God? Was there anything about the man that spoke of this? Was there anything different about the man when he came down after spending 40 days on the mountaintop of God? The Bible says that his face shone. When Jacob met with God at Peniel, and God blessed him, was there any evidence in his life that God had blessed him? Oh, Jacob had been a twister all of his life. That's what his name means, supplanter. He was a twister. I wouldn't like to have been buying a car from Jacob, or anything from Jacob. But after that experience with God, the Bible says that he halted upon his thigh. People could see him. What did they see? Here's a man who's been blessed of God. And the people might have thought to themselves, if that is the blessing of God, I don't want anything to do with it. Because for the rest of his life, he walked with a limp. But the point I'm making is this. The blessings of God are never secret. The blessings of God cannot be hidden. It was an experienced blessing. The Lord hath blessed him. It was an extensive blessing because the blessing extended to all that he had. And it was an evident blessing because it was told David that he was blessed. Other people have been talking about this blessing that Obed-Edom had received. And I think of other individuals. Remember, Abimelech and his friend said to Isaac, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee." And that word "saw" simply means we noticed. We were able to see it for ourselves. And as a result of that, they sued for peace with him. Why? They said, "Thou art now the blessed of the Lord." They recognized the fact that he had something that they didn't have. Now when you read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, trace the altars in their experience and the tents in their experience and the wells in their experience. Isaac is primarily the well digger. And this man had to dig deep. You read there in Genesis 26 about the wells that he dug and the Philistines came and took them over and filled them up. And Isaac was a man who had to go on digging wells. He had to go on digging deep. And men and women who dig deep in the things of God will make an impression for good and for God. And the Philistines or Abimelech saw it. I think about Joseph. We could talk about his trials. We can talk about his ultimate triumph. But we also need to mention his testimony. The Word of God says that his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. But we continue to read that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Of course, we have here Christ primarily. But I think we can use this in reference to a child of God who has experienced the blessing of God. A child of God who's going through with God that we can be a blessing to others. Others were blessed because of Joseph. And we can become a blessing to others, believe it or not. We can. It was said of David that Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. So David hears about the blessing that Obed-Edom has experienced, and as a result of that, it brings us to the reason for the blessing of God upon Obed-Edom. When David heard about that, he said in his heart, "If God can bless Obed-Edom, God can bless me. And I want that blessing." So he was stirred up with God. He wanted that same blessing upon his experience. But David had learned a vital lesson. You see, primarily when he talked about bringing back the Ark of God, he didn't consult God. And then he did something very foolish. He made a new cart. And he placed the Ark of God on that new cart. Now, the Ark had to be carried by staves. The Ark didn't have wheels on it. It was to be carried. And it was to be carried by certain people, the Levites, whose responsibility it was to carry the ark of God. Holy things cannot be used in some mechanical fashion. Now, the Philistines, they placed the ark of God in the new cart. They didn't have the fear of God. They were showing some type of respect for it. And so when David built a new cart and placed the ark of God upon it, he was aping the Philistines. He was doing what the Philistines had done. He was trying to do God's work in a worldly way. And God said, no, no. We can invest in new machinery and some new organization. We can put our faith in them, but if the burden of the work of God does not rest upon our hearts, the cause of God will make no progress through us. This is an age in which we live, and the modern church is looking for something new, a contemporary service for those who favor that, a conservative one for the older generation, contemporary music, out with the hymn books, in with the chorus books, out with doctrine. Don't teach doctrine to children. Children can't understand doctrine. There's no point of doing that. Don't talk about hell. You don't want the children to be terrified in their beds at night. I would rather have them troubled now about these things and make preparation for the future as they end up in hell, lost forever. But they can permit their children to be subjected to Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ. Anything that comes from Rome is tainted, of course. There can be no good thing there at all. It's blasphemy. But the bookshops of today have it displayed. Modern society, bring these things in, something new. The old way doesn't work anymore. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul going into Corinth? Had there been videos then? We're going to show a video tonight of how it should be done. We're going to show a video on evangelism. We're going to have a testimony meeting tonight. And John's going to play the guitar. And Silas, he's going to beat in the drums. And we're going to have loud music and bright lights and colourful lights. This is a new way. We're going to preach the gospel. Did he do that? No, he went and he preached Christ. He opened the word of God and he expounded Christ. The old ways haven't failed. It's people trying new ways that bring failure. The old way is a proven way. It's a tested way. It's God's way. And when we do evangelism God's way, we can expect God to bless. But when we do it the worldly way, we can only expect the judgment of God to fall upon what we do. Let's get back to the old ways and the old paths and preaching Christ as the only way of salvation and the only hope for the world. But many of God's people prefer something light and flippant and flimsy. Something that they don't have to think too much about or concentrate too much on. Any old thing will do. It's only the Lord, you know. Any old thing will do to Him. Well, any old thing will not do the Lord. It will not just do. And David was chastened because he tried to do it the Philistine way. But he learned a lesson. And the next time when he was stirred up of God, he invited the Levites to come. He sent for them to come. They were suitably dressed. The staves were put into the holes provided in the side of the ark. Everything was done in a dignified fashion, according to the mind and will of God. And those individuals felt the weight of the work of God. They felt the weight of the ark of God pressing upon them. May God give us a burden for the work of God. May we feel the weight and the burden of God's work. May we never do it lightly or flippantly. even at those preparing a Sunday school lesson, may we take time and dwell upon what we're doing, because it's for Him. It's for Him. Here's the purpose of the blessing. It stirred up his heart and caused David to seek that blessing for himself. Prior to that, David had said, I'm not going to bother with this anymore. How can I bring the ark of God home to me? I'm going to give up. Let someone else do it. But David was wrong. David was wrong. But the time came when David did do what was right. And you know, when he brought the ark back home again, he danced before the Lord. He had that linen garment upon him. He left aside his royal garment. He danced before the ark of God. And his wife, Michal, saw him dancing before the ark. And she despised him in her heart. She said, look at that fool out there, getting excited about spiritual things. But David went home nonetheless, and the Bible says that he went home to bless his household, to pray with his household, to worship with his household. But when he went home, Michal was waiting, and she abused him. And I can assure you, when you begin to get blessed of God, you're going to meet opposition, even from your own family. They're not going to understand you. So what was David's meat proved to be Michal's poison. Psalms 24, 67 and 105 were supposed to be written around this time as well. Read those for yourself. The purpose of the blessing was to stir this man up so that he would seek that blessing too. And then we have the proof of the blessing of the Lord. Now this man is described here as a Gittite. And because he's described as a Gittite, many people believe that he was a Philistine. I do not happen to believe that. I believe that he was a Levite. Probably came from Gath Rimmon, a Levitical city. Joshua 21 verses 24 to 25. So I would hold to that view. So when the ark of God was brought from his home, Obed-Edom resolved before God, I'm going to go where the ark goes. And his name is mentioned along with the porters in chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles. I want to be where the ark is. I want to be there, defending Christ at all times. And then as we continue on through the Word of God into chapter 26 and verses 4 and 5, Obed-Edom's name appears again. And it is the same man, because the same words are used. He was a man that God blessed. And there in that 26th chapter we read that God gave to him 8 sons. But here's this man, and his home has been blessed of God. And God gives to him 8 sons. And then if you read on about his descendants, 62 in all are involved in the service of God. Some of them are found there being part of the military guard. They're noted for their strength. And some of them are among the singers. What were the singers engaged in? Praising God. Oh, how good it is to see your family praising God. But I believe this is something of the nature of the blessing of God that this man experienced. Concerning children, the Bible says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And we read of 62 descendants of Obed-Edom involved in the service of God. Is that not a fulfillment of the promise of God that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had? Surely it does. The proof of the blessing of God, his whole family in the service of God, rejoicing and praising God for his goodness to them. May the Lord in his grace visit us and visit our homes and visit our families, visit our children, our sons and daughters. And may the Lord bless us and all that we have. And may we become a blessing to this community where God has placed us. And may the blessing of God be evident for all to see. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. May the Lord bless us richly for his name's sake. Amen. We'll close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that thou wilt take all that has been of thyself tonight and use it for thy glory. And we pray, loving God, that we too in this congregation might experience something of the blessing that thou didst lavish so freely upon Obed-Edom and his family. Bless the church family here in Orlando. We pray, loving God, for a gracious outpouring of the Spirit of God in these times. We pray, loving God, for our own families and our own homes. May the blessing of God attend us there too. And grant, dear God, that our lights will shine in a dark place. Shine for God. Shine for truth. And shine for righteousness. As we leave this service tonight, may we do so in a solemn fashion, with the fear of God in our hearts, and the blessing of God resting upon us, and all that we have, and all that we will do, for Christ's sake.